Everyone's asleep.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting from New Zealand, the fabulous, the fluoridated, the least corrupt country in the world. Damn, it's hard to say that with a straight face. My very amazing, spectacular, groundbreaking, cacophonous... Wait, is cacophonous a compliment? I don't know. It's Evelyn Gilbert from Aotearoa Wider Perspective. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Vinnie.
I'm very glad to have you here. Now, it's election season in New Zealand, and I've come up with a philosophy recently that politics does make you crazy, especially if you take it seriously. It's been quite difficult to tolerate the whole election cycle personally, but there's also all these other big crises that are going on simultaneously, like Ebola and uprising. I mean, is anybody talking about the Ukraine and ISIS and Gaza and all of that kind of stuff? It's like, the election. What are your feelings about what's happening right now?
I think we live in interesting times, Vinny. Very interesting times.
How interestingly vague.
I can get to some specifics if you want.
I'd actually really prefer it.
Okay, what I wanted to talk about today was about the scandals that have been wrecking the right-wing national government under ex-Wall Street banker John Key, who has been trying to walk away from confrontations with prize-winning journalist Glenn Greenwald, who brought Snowden and Assange to New Zealand, who has been talking about the wholesale spying that has been going on in New Zealand over perhaps the better part of a year or even more than a year, starting in June last year, according to Snowden, the NSA whistleblower who lives in Russia at the moment.
It's quite difficult because there's so many mixed feelings about this and so much political, it's distraction that John Key's trying to play here. He's like, no, don't look at what all these guys are saying. Don't look at all the documented evidence. Focus on the fact that I made up them having some form of agenda, as opposed to me having already hundreds of millions of dollars and doing insider trading with the country's assets. Don't look at that. No. That's not important. And he's doing very well at it. Have the polls changed much since the moment of truth? Don't think so.
One thing that's gone up is the appreciation of Winston Peters. From New Zealand First. He's gone up to 9.1. He's only 3 points below David Gunliffe. That's an interesting move.
Well, people have a lot of mixed feelings about Winston Peters. Now, I've got a couple of things that I like Winston Peters for. I'm not 100% sure if there are anything that I know about him that I don't especially like, but maybe ideologically. But in terms of what he says and what he does, I'm kind of, yeah, I like them. It's just about entertainment value for me, politics at the end of the day. And guess who gets kicked out of Parliament the most for saying the most ruthless insults at the National Party? Winston. He called Jerry Brownlee, the earthquake recovery minister, an illiterate woodshop teacher on the House floor and got kicked out of Parliament for it, the very first person to get kicked out of Parliament during the new term. Worth a vote. At the very least, it keeps politics interesting. On the other hand, there's what he's actually done, which is the wine box inquiry, exposing the massive tax dodges and basically a preemptive New World Order exposure in New Zealand. I guess if you looked into that, it'd be links to the Opal files and the rest of the documents that have since been declassified or exposed, regardless of the classification, about the plan for international scumbags to take over New Zealand. And he got chastised for it, left the National Party, has been demonised by the media ever since, goes out and does an entire policy launch this year, and the media do a two-minute speech on one joke that he made on it. Generally speaking, if you're looking at election coverage, you want to be looking most closely at the people the media is demonizing or omitting.
Another example, for example, is the Democrats for Social Credit, of course.
Who have been completely and utterly ignored by the media. Hence, people should really be paying big attention to them.
Absolutely, exactly. And they're being not just demonized, but absolutely ridiculed. And of course, their point is that we are working with international borrowed money that is being created by the money cartel, and we're paying interest, and which means that a lot of our money, our wealth, our productivity is being sent abroad. And they point out that in the beginning of last century, New Zealand became wealthy because we had control over our own currency. So this is something that people should be hearing.
Everything that you said there, apart from we became wealthy through creating our own currency, is almost word for word what I heard Winston Peters say in a small party meeting in West Auckland a number of years ago. And he mentioned how our state assets shouldn't be sold, and in fact we should have commission management running them. And the reason why he believes commission management is a good idea is because he looked at the wealthy families of the world, the Rothschilds and the DuPonts and all of that, and they don't run any of their own wealth. They have professional business managers running it, and if they don't run it at a profit, they don't get paid for that year's work. And he says that this would be a very smart move to actually put our assets in as well. You own those assets and you get a pro to run them and you collect all the proceeds.
That's how it should be.
I want to hear some bad stuff about Winston, like some actual bad documented stuff, because the media went after him for like 6 months over those alleged donations and things like that. And a serious fraud office investigation. 6 months of it, all the way through the election campaign. And Winston wound up getting voted out. And what did they find? After all that investigation, after an article in every paper and story in the media every day? Nothing. They found absolutely nothing. So when people say Winston's corrupt or he's just a sly politician or something like that, that's all they say. They haven't actually come up with any... What did he actually do, bro? What did he actually do? I really want to know. Because if I'm going to vote for somebody who's committing scumbaggery of some description, either past, present, or plans to in future, I want to know about it. But I don't want to know conjecture or supposition. I want to know something that's documented, something that's fact.
I think that is perfectly normal. And I think we should know everything there is to know about our candidates. And I think what happened on Monday with Glenn Greenwald, whom John Key called a little henchman, is incredibly important. And a lot of stuff was being brought out that needs to be discussed and above all should be used as material for our local journalists who are not doing their job to actually start doing their job and start asking some serious questions.
It frustrated me to be sitting there watching the live feed, and when these incredible people who stand up for human freedom in general said something so compelling that it made the entire crowd roar and cheer, there were all these journalists with their red media badges sitting there in this big group, looking down at their notepads, scribbling stuff out, looking away, looking bored, looking like they don't belong. That really enrages me, because these are the people who are going to give you your information tomorrow. Don't you want people who actually are engaged, somebody who's interested, somebody who actually gives a flying frack about the future of the country and about people's rapidly eroding freedoms?
Finny, I don't understand how people in this country can call themselves journalists. Journalists, in my book, are jaded, have no political allegiance, because they think every politician is corrupt or dishonest, or and it only needs to be found out and is always on the lookout. It's his job.
Well, that's only the good journalists, though, because you look at Mike Hosking and Paul Henry and all of that kind of stuff. They don't seem jaded at all, but they definitely look like they've got a political leaning. And that's why they're not so jaded, because they've got like a couple of hundred K a year or something like that for which to pay off their jadery.
They're not journalists. They are PR people.
This is true.
You know, and they get paid for being PR people. A good journalist is poor as a church mouse, because he tells stuff that nobody wants to hear.
I guess that kind of comes with the territory, eh?
It does.
Yeah.
I don't get paid.
You get, well, the thing is, we should be, you know. And, well, in fact, I am. I'm paid to do this, Evelyn. You know this. You know this, ladies and gentlemen listening to this right now. I mean, many of you who donate on a regular basis. I figured out that the big guys and the Coca-Colas and Nike shoes of this world aren't going to come to us to get airtime for their advertising products. And we probably wouldn't take their money even if they offered it to us. But the ultimate thing is here, if the people want to hear the truth, they really do have to pay for it in some way, shape, or form. Some people contribute time and effort by sharing links and emailing things around so that more pairs of eyes and ears can see and hear the kind of stuff that goes on radio shows like mine with guests like Evelyn. And other people can contribute like $100 a month. It all depends upon your means and what you're willing to give up to make sure that the truth is still out there for people to listen to. And I can't contribute any money to making sure that people have the truth out there to listen to, but I can contribute my voice, my time, my editing skills and things of that nature to ensure that other people actually do, as well as myself, have access to the truth. Playing my part, that's all. Evelyn, you're playing your part, masterfully, I might add.
That's good, because I've got some really nasty information and news that I would like to talk about.
Shoot.
First of all, we have known about the GCSB's goal of spying on as many people as possible over the last couple of years. We've also known about changing the law in May last year and to enable them to do just that. But what the Snowden revelations brought to us was that before that time, between illegally spying on at least 80 New Zealanders and Kim.com and the change in the law, plans were made on how to do just that. Basically, it came to John Key saying, oh, you want to spy on this population? That's fine. You make the plan and I'll change the law. That's how it went. And what Snowden told us is that somewhere between the end of 2012 and the beginning of 2013, phase one of a spying project called Spear Gun was implemented. They would start spying in around about June of 2013. Now, I went back over that period and I found that on November 9th in 2012, there was a 70 minutes outage of the Southern Cross cable in Sydney, where it came back to land. In Sydney. So that's interesting, because that falls right in that period that they were going to try and access the network cable connecting New Zealand to the rest of the world. What we were told was that on that day, there was a software change. And what it said here on, for example, the webpage of IT News on that day was that the Southern Cross cable system suffered an outage on the Sydney-Auckland leg this morning after a wavelength switching platform software upgrade at the Alexandria landing went wrong. The provider told the Australian Network Operators Group that the fault was caused by an unauthorized and unnotified software change to their wavelength switching platform at Alexandria. This is very interesting. How come in what must be the most important connection, connecting 4.5 million people to the internet, there can be a 17-minute outage? And it's due to software changes. So I started looking further down the line. In fact, Labor spokeswoman on IT, Claire Curran, said it was misleading, and she clearly knew there was something else going on, except that she couldn't quite say that. So I went and had another look, and it turns out that the group who was at that moment working on this upgrade was a group called Sina. Sina is a corporation. They're network specialists. They're American.
I just wanted to talk about the irony of a spy agency helper called Sina. Yeah, I've seen her.
Yeah.
I saw a great Facebook photo the other day. It's got a guy and a girl on the phone, and it's like, you hang up. No, you hang up. And then there's John Key on the phone. Nah, you hang up.
I saw that one too. Anyway, what is interesting is that this group is all about achieving information superiority for the United States government and armed forces. For example, they have on board a woman called Jim Tumler Singer, who served as a chief information officer for the National Reconnaissance Office.
Didn't Snowden say that there was like 69 tap points or countries or something, both a friend and foe to the United States that they have complete surveillance of?
That could be. I'm not familiar with that, but I know that we have...
You said we had two outlet points, one in Auckland and one even further north.
What not a lot of people know is that the Americans consider the two landing points in Auckland Harbour to be of national significance to the United States.
These are probably the harbours that are being dredged to allow for larger vessels, which are incidentally already capable of taking the world's largest cruise liners. What's larger than the world's largest cruise liners? Only one thing comes to mind.
Aircraft carriers. Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, you will have nuclear-powered aircraft carriers in your ports after the next election if we elect John Key, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Oh, I don't know if they'll come in that quickly, Evelyn. You know, maybe they'll like lay it out. You know what they'll do? No, here's a better idea. You give John Key another term, and then he passes all the laws to allow those nuclear carriers to come in. Don't tell the public about it. And then elect Labor the next time, and then Labor will allow these nuclear carriers in, and they'll have some kind of like excuses about terrorism or something like that, or pull off some kind of scam, and then everybody will blame Labor when in actual fact, and then Labor will be able to blame the national government for giving them the ability to do it in the law, and then everybody will go, oh well, you know, they're just doing what they have to, I guess.
That's true, and it's also, but it's, for example, it was John Key who in June 2012 went to Brussels, met with the head of NATO, and actually signed a brand new treaty with NATO, and not a lot of people know this. And it was in the aftermath of signing that New Zealand started to participate with NATO exercises. The Tamana frigate was in Indian Ocean together with a Ukrainian frigate, and the two of them trained together in anti-piracy exercises. In November last year, 2013, we had 9 other countries aligned with NATO, 6 of them being NATO members or partners, and they trained to remove a leader in a sovereign country, complete with beach landings, complete with military exercises, complete with
protesters waving anti-US flags.
Absolutely. Here is Monday, December the 6th, 2010. The Southern Cross undersea cable landings at 2 Auckland beaches have been labeled critical infrastructure and key resources by the United States government. This came out with the WikiLeaks revelations, and the memo was from Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. So here we are. Part of our country, part of our harbors is critical infrastructure to the United States of America. Why is that?
It's the most accessible point to Antarctica, which I'm sure will be salvaged for its resources soon enough, and they'll probably need some kind of a drop-off point. Also, it's really much easier to project military dominance across the South Pacific if you happen to have massive navies there. It might also be pretty handy to have a sub-pen here as well, considering the giant trenches in the Pacific Ocean that the subs are planning to, you know, launch their missiles in the Northern Hemisphere if they have to, and then escape into the trenches, have a convenient outlet called New Zealand.
Absolutely.
Where they can travel to almost completely undetected through the underwater trenches and stuff, man. So we've got quite a huge amount of strategic value right now to the US military. And do you know what the US military's motto is when something's of strategic value to you and they won't give it up? You take it. And before you take it, you've got to train for it.
Yep. It came to mind, actually, when I was reading about Katipo exercise, which was held in November 2013 on the southern island. All of a sudden, I had this vision of David Cunliffe wanting to stay strong for the New Zealand population and being elected for some reason. And, he doesn't want to go voluntarily, so we'll just have to take him out. Beach landings and all.
That reminds me of a joke I said about John Key in front of his house at a protest. Some men are a son of the land, others are a son of the sea, but John Key is a son of a beach. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for in this segment. What a great place to round it off. Thank you, Evelyn, for your time. Do you have any other things that you'd like to quickly plug before we go to break?
People who want to read up on this information can go to my blog called Aotearoa, a wider perspective, .wordpress.com. Hope they visit.
I hope they do, and share your many, many fine articles around. And thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Without your support, we would be nothing. In fact, you know, kind of nothing already. Anyway, man, self-deprecation's really good. In fact, Jonathan Eisen from Uncensored Magazine, I love name dropping, by the way, he dropped round to my house, and I came home just as he was leaving, and I said, oh, you're leaving already? And he goes, yeah, I just came by to drop you off the new issue. And I said, right, thank you, as if I don't already have enough issues. He found that really funny. He doesn't find any of my other jokes funny. Except the ones that insult myself. It's good to have somebody like that in your life. We'll be right back. Give to me, it makes me feel fine. Every little word that you say to me keeps my heart on time. Red blood flowing like a rough rapid when you are nearby. Ain't no doubt, cause it's plain to see. You set us so fire. Something so true is what I get from you. And I hope that you'll see. Get the best of me. Something so true is what I get from you. And I hope that you'll see. Get the best of me. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting from New Zealand, the fabulous 1080 paradise. There's a number of things in the news lately that have been kind of irking me a little, and this is ironic, of course, because I don't have a TV in my house and I don't really read articles. I mean, it's just headlines, you know, and the activists are the people who I talk to about these issues. I don't usually get my information out of the media for which to comment on, but the headlines are always funny. And there was something along the lines of don't eat trout in 1080 areas. And the thing that really occurs to me here is how long it's been known that 1080 is a toxin that leaches into the water and everything that lives in it when they're dropping baits all over the place. The most toxic thing you could ever conceive of, to the point where it's banned for outdoor use for every single country in the world except New Zealand. That's how far ahead of the curve we are. Now, Clyde Graff and his brother Steve, I believe, have done an incredible documentary on this called Poisoning Paradise. It even won a few awards. And it's several hours of these guys are just the outdoorsman's outdoorsman, right? They know how to live in the bush. They know how to go in there. They're amazing with their cameras, and they've got great photos of wildlife and things like that all over the place. And the reason why they were so upset by the use of 1080 is because they see its effect firsthand. They see a pregnant deer dead that have obviously died suffering incredibly painful deaths, to the point where they would have seizures so bad that they would literally regurgitate their own stomachs out of their mouths, and you'd actually see their stomach hanging out of their mouth. That's how horrible this stuff is. And only now, after dropping 1080 all over the country for years and years and years, do they even slightly warn people, just don't drink the fish out of that particular stream that we're dumping 1080 into? It's just insane. And I feel so so angry about it. I'm angry about a lot of things. Not all of them to do with the news, of course. We've all got personal issues and whatnot, workloads, etc. And this election cycle has gotten me, it really does throw you for a loop just watching it happen. You see everybody tuned into the media when you're not, and they come and tell me all these things, like, oh, did you see this, did you see that? And I'm like, no, I didn't. And yet, they can explain to me just a minute detail about an article or a news piece or something of that nature that they've seen that really concerns them. And I'm capable of rattling off about 10 to 20 things that that article probably didn't mention that they should probably know about. And that's the reason why the listeners to the Vinnie Eastwood show are a lot more educated than, say, those who listen to mainstream talkback radio. It's just minutia that really matters. Ultimately, I know that sounds strange coming from somebody who has no credibility, but sometimes it is the minute details that really do make all the difference. And 1080 is one of those things where people go, oh, the big picture is, oh, look, there's terrible, terrible possums out there, and we need to kill them. And there's all these places where people can't hike into in a small island country where 90% of the population lives within 30 minutes of a beach. Apparently, we've got inaccessible areas here. And we're going to dump hazardous waste products and poison all over our pristine bushland, into the lakes, into the rivers, into the goodness knows wherever. And they don't even drop it just far away from civilization. No. Get reports all the time of farmers' dogs eating the pellets, or their cows eating the pellets. And farmers are such an incredible breed, especially in New Zealand, that they have so much empathy for their animals. And you see the testimony of some of these farmers who've lost their favorite dog, or a cow worth several thousand dollars, or you know, this is the thing that really kind of irks me, because we're seeing pain, suffering, and toxicity and scumbaggery raining down on people all over the place, and there's bugger all people to really give them a voice. And when you tell this to people like the Green Party or anybody else in any position of authority that could conceivably make a difference, if they were there to do what they said they're there to do, of course. Greens are there to save the environment, and so they support 1080, which destroys the environment. I'm not making it up, you know. And they're like, oh, well, we've got these terrible pest species and what have you. And they ignore the fact that 1080 doesn't just kill the pest species. It's not exactly a pest or rodent-specific bait. Everything eats it. And not only that, everything that eats what eats it
dies too. And probably anything that eats what eats it. You know, goodness knows how long that... It's a food chain poisoner, ladies and gentlemen. We've got many birds that are native to this country, like the weka, for example, kind of like a, I don't know, a plucky bush chicken, I guess would probably how you'd be to describe it, sort of like a cross between a kiwi and a chook. And they scratch around, they eat carcasses and things like that. They're kind of like the sharks of the forest to a degree, a very minute degree, by the way. And yeah, they'll eat a carcass that has died from 1080, and then that bird will die. Our protected species will die. So let me get this straight, Green Party. Your idea to save protected species is to drop poisons and kill them. You frickin'... It really upsets me, eh? You got to actually have some kind of empathy for the life around you. And if you don't even bother looking into anything and just say, oh, those conspiracy theorists, oh, yeah, they're telling you that 1080's bad. That's not bad. It's good. It's good. It's a frickin' endocrine disruptor. All right? And they say, lies. Lies and lies and lies. And we're not just talking about the Green Party here. We're talking about every single person who has ever advocated 1080 is either knowingly lying or unwittingly falling for a lie and repeating it. It's just that cut and dry. There is no wiggle room at all. All the facts are in. This is the worst frickin' thing that you could possibly do to the environment. Period. In terms of trying to do pest eradication, at least. I mean, my God, that's like trying to, I don't know, get bad bacteria off of your skin by scrubbing it with like a flamethrower, you know? Just like, oh yeah, that'll get it off, bro. It'll be sweet as, it'll work. Yeah, sure, it'll work, but it'll take all your skin off with it. Just like 1080 works, except it takes everything out with it as well. Not to mention, imagine if you were a hunter and you go up there and you kill something and you eat it. What if it's eaten 1080? What if it's eaten something that's eaten 1080 and it's still got 1080 in its bloodstream? That means you're getting it. You see what I'm saying? Imagine if you were walking through the bush and you saw beautiful birds everywhere. You saw nice deer once in a while. Like, isn't it spectacular, the idea? How much would you appreciate your walk in the bush if you saw a deer just cross the path? It's like, wow, aren't they majestic? Aren't they beautiful? As opposed to, oh, look at that carcass. That's rotting. And look at all the dead native birds around it that tried to eat it. That's what 1080 does. Pretty straightforward. Again, no wiggle room. Now, 1080 is also made with a fluoride compound, incidentally enough. And speaking of fluoride, FANS, the Fluoride Action Network, who I've been trying to give a bit of coverage to as often as I can, and had several videos up of Dr. Paul Connett giving his presentations on fluoride. They've had a bit of a run-in with, I think, the Advertising Safety Authority. I don't know what the acronym is, but they're saying that they made an ad, and I think this might have been the ad that I made, that these people are making extraordinary claims. And that they're fear-mongering. And that this is not good. And it should be taken down. Now, the quantity of hypocrisy is palpable here. It's beyond a joke. You want to talk fear-mongering? Here's fear-mongering. If you don't put fluoride in your water, all your kids' teeth will rot out of their head. That's fear-mongering. You want to talk fear-mongering? Every single person who says that fluoride is bad is crazy and a conspiracy theorist. Is that not fear-mongering? Are you not demonizing somebody? Are you not trying to attack things? They also said in this criticism of this anti-fluoride ad that they used false evidence. Bad information, bad interpretation, things of that nature. And if anybody knows about false evidence, it's the people promoting fluoride. Because it's all they promote. It's the only way, just like 1080, it's the only way you can get fluoride into people's bodies is if they don't know what it is. And if you don't, and if they do know what it is, don't give them a choice. If you got fluoride in your water, you're bathing in it, you're drinking it, you're cooking your food in it, you're washing your kids in it. Some people are actually fluoride sensitive. That's a fact, is it not? By saying that you put fluoride in the water, you're going to affect negatively the health of a number of people who are fluoride sensitive. Is that fear-mongering? Is that stretching the facts? No, it's not. By saying that you have a 60% decrease in the decay of tooth surfaces in a massive advertising campaign that cost tens of thousands of dollars in a small town in Australia, and if you say that this is what teeth look like with fluoride, and it's a beautiful smile, and this is what people look like without fluoride, and they look like freaking Frankenstein, is that fear-mongering? Is that taking things out of context? Is that being full of crap? Maybe? Yes? I think so. Now, when you're dealing with psychopathic scumbaggery pieces of filth like this, and I'm beyond mincing words here, as if you can't tell already. But I really am quite angry with two things, right? And this is just personally, in my own life. This has nothing to do with the media or the news or anything. This is just personally what I really don't like. I don't like being accused of doing things that I have not done, or being things that I am not. And I don't like it when people give credit to somebody else for something that I've done. Now, that seems perfectly reasonable, doesn't it? What's problematic is that that happens all the time throughout life. Yeah, people on Facebook and Twitter and goodness knows what other media source, etc., who do that on a regular basis. They have absolutely no compulsion to tell the truth, because lies are far more convenient. What's problematic is that if you're not a lying sociopathic douchebag, you basically don't get in on the joke. It's like you're the one being the joke made out of. And I'm like, bro, you're accusing me of being what you are. They call us liars. They call us crazy. They're liars. They're crazy. All right, and just because we're telling you what the frick their craziness business is, it doesn't mean that we're crazy by proxy, okay? You can't just go up to somebody and say, hey, you know that person you were talking to? He was a bit crazy. That person then automatically goes, oh my God, you must be nuts. You see what I'm saying? You see the how inflamed and incensed a person might be as a result of such lies and spin and scumbaggery on a constant basis? It's every single day, all right? You're a conspiracy theorist, you're a shill, you're a liar, you're doing it for the money, you're doing this, that, and the other. I cannot, for the life of me, fathom why people really want to do this with their life, unless they're being paid. Or unless they're just that well mind-controlled that they actually think that they're correct. You know? Hey, here's a incredibly toxic substance. Is it legal to dump that stuff? No, it's totally illegal. Well, how can we get rid of it then? Well, there's a loophole in the law which if you sell it to a government agency or something, it ceases to be classified as toxic waste and is therefore classified as a corporate product. And then you can dump corporate products into the water supply, but you can't dump toxic waste. So what we'll do is we'll sell it, call it a corporate product, and then dump it. Boom! That's not... I'm not even exaggerating here. That's exactly how it works. All right? People wonder why conspiracy theorists get go crazy all the time. And I want to talk about the term conspiracy theorist for a moment here, because it's a blanket term that gets used on every single person I've ever freaking met who seems to be telling something that the mainstream general public aren't willing to accept yet, but is nonetheless true because there's copious quantities of evidence to back it up. You are a conspiracy theorist if that's what you do. If you tell things to people that are unpopular, that is totally backed up with evidence, you are a conspiracy theorist. Okay? That's basically how it works. That's not the broad brush definition of it, but that's how it works in practice. The actual definition is, respire, conspire, okay? Breathe out as opposed to breathe together. That's what conspire means, breathe together in the Latin. When two or more people come together to cause harm on another group of people without that group of people knowing about it, that's a conspiracy. There's laws against conspiracy. You can be charged with conspiracy. Can you be charged with a leprechaunery? No?
It's because leprechauns don't exist.
And conspiracy does. It's freaking everywhere. Has anybody else out there got siblings? You ever had two siblings mess you round because you're the youngest? I am the youngest of five. I know what conspiracy feels like when you're the victim of one. I mean, I might make light of it, but at the end of the day, this is how it works. And I'm very, very upset by good people, whether they be the fluoride movement, 1080 activists, corruption watchdogs, court watchdogs, bloggers, journalists, people who have written books exposing scumbaggery ad infinitum, being called conspiracy theorists as a negative. Here's my definition for conspiracy theorist. A person who believes, absolutely believes, and you cannot convince them otherwise, that powerful people actually use their power to maintain or grow their influence. If you're not a conspiracy theorist, the other end of the spectrum, and most people are sort of in between, but the other end, beyond a conspiracy theorist, somebody who you can't convince otherwise, that there is no such thing as conspiracy, no such thing as backroom deals, no such thing as lies and deception, and no such thing as a desire for power and money through dishonesty and scumbaggery. Which of those two groups of people on either end of the spectrum would you prefer to fit into? I am proudly call myself a conspiracy theorist if those were the conditions. Because I'm not insane. I'm not naive. I used to be. Once back in the day, cops run into my house and bust me for pot. How much have you got? Yes, sir. No, sir. Three bags full, sir. Admitted to absolutely everything, even without being read my rights. Totally, utterly naive. And that was nearly 10 years ago, and I'm still suffering the effects of it today. Still can't travel. It's actually quite good that trauma happened to me, and I hope it happens to everybody. I know that sounds really nasty and cold and cruel, but it is the pain that I went through, pain so terrible, so powerful, that it was irresistible. It went through me and out of me as like a bullet. It took me down. It was only once I was down, really down, for the count, that my future had been erased, that my past became a lie in retrospect. Only once that veil was lifted through the trials and tribulations of pain and suffering was I on my path towards the truth at last. The truth that this system is not there to help you. It is not staffed by honest people with integrity in the main. It is not capable of feeling empathy towards you or helping you when you're at the very worst part of your life. And in fact, it will take advantage of you when you're in that situation. It will make fun of you for its own amusement. There is nothing about the system that says to me that this is run by moral, ethical people with a strong compass and compassion for their fellow man. It reeks of psychopathy at every single level. No empathy, no creativity, and a hierarchical control structure where few people have the power and the money at the top. That's what a psychopathic control system looks like. Our government is what a psychopathic control system looks like. The United Nations is what a psychopathic control mechanism looks like. Wall Street is exactly what it looks like. Do you understand? Anybody who's got power, anybody who's got influence, anybody who's got more money than God, you've got to be suspicious that there's something wrong. And I'm not talking about millionaires, okay? I'm not talking about somebody who's got like 10, 20, 30 mil or something like that or below. I'm talking about billionaires, okay? Somebody who's in the billions or at the very least in the hundreds of millions. That is a suspicious sign, okay? And I'm not saying that. In fact, I've already explained it, haven't I? And I'm really freaking sick of people saying, oh, you're bagging on the rich, you're trying for class warfare. BS! It's not class warfare if there's 2,000 billionaires on the planet out of a planet of 7 billion people, 3.5 billion of which can't even get proper food or water, and those 2,000 billionaires have more money than they could ever need, and instead of doing what a moral or ethical or kind or generous person would do, helping out their fellow man, they choose to pay an artist $4,000 per brush stroke to do an artwork in their new conference center, which they only invite elite bankers and other movers and shakers to, so that they can have something nice to look at on the wall as they're walking past. As I saw in a Rothschild family little documentary called The Aristocrats, and they were going on about how, oh, we're Jewish and we're out on the outside and people don't like us. It's like, dude, it doesn't matter if people don't like you. You own them. It's like, I mean, I was just wondering, you know, what if your cat didn't like you? What would you just go, oh, oh, that's terrible. Oh, my kitty doesn't like me. I mean, sweet mercy. You know, cry me a river. Cry me a derivative. What? Oh, my God. The pain, ladies and gentlemen. The pain of awareness. I'd want to share this Christmas cheer with you. There's, like, just a cacophony of scumbaggery, like, swirling around the entire freaking planet, isn't there? And it's so monstrous, so beyond a joke, that you can't... It's almost impossible to look upon the world in any way, shape, or form once you've been woken up to the true nature behind things without seeing scumbaggery everywhere you look. You know? It's like a house of mirrors for scumbaggery. You walk in, oh my God, there's freaking scumbaggery everywhere. But the thing is, there's so many good people out there. And I had a conversation today about trust with a good friend of mine. And most people don't trust people. All right, I'm willing to come out and say that because they don't. I do. I trust everybody implicitly until they violate my trust just once. And they never trust them again because they're not trustworthy. Simple as that. You can make really good friends really, really quickly just by trusting people and discarding those who basically can't be trusted. But you only find out who can and who can't be trusted after you take a leap of faith. And people who are talking about these political parties up against each other, these people are indoctrinated into a form of faith. It's as simple as I can describe it. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Please check out our sponsors on the website, the Blue Shields, the Gourmet Soap Kitchen in Wagga Wagga. Damn, like, I really do love saying Wagga Wagga. I don't know. And also the High Tea Cafe in New Lynn. And also be very much appreciative if you would donate today, or you can... You know, use the Kiwi Bank there, set up an automatic payment, or you could subscribe for as little as $1 a month just to give me some of that resource that everybody else has to work really hard for, so I can simply continue to sit here and keep working really hard to make sure all those people who don't have their own platform, who don't have a voice and everything, can be given one. We'll be right back.
The pioneers gave up their safety, their comfort, and sometimes their lives to build our new West. They were determined to make the new world strong and free, an example to the world. Some would say that those struggles are all over, that all the horizons have been explored, that all the battles have been won, that there is no longer an American frontier. And we stand today on the edge of a new frontier, the frontier of unknown opportunities and peril. Beyond that frontier are uncharted areas of science and space, unsolved problems of peace and war, unconquered province of ignorance and prejudice. I'm asking each of you to be pioneers towards that new frontier. My call is to the young in heart, regardless of age. Can we carry through in an age where we will witness not only new breakthroughs in weapons of destruction, but also a race for mastery of the sky and the rain, the ocean and the tides, the far side of space, and the inside of men's minds? All mankind waits upon our decision. A whole world looks to see what we shall do. And we cannot fail that trust, and we cannot fail to try.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen, on the Vinny Eastwood Show. Check it out at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question, and Eastwood doesn't go ahead, make my news. New Zealand's main alternative media, I would guess, maybe that's a little bit egotistical. In fact, there's no maybes about it. It's totally egotistical. Calling myself the main New Zealand alternative media. There's plenty of other alternative media in this country. However, proviso, all the good mainstream, good mainstream, as if there's such a thing. All the good alternative media reporters I'm, you know, in contact with, friends with, and help out whenever I can, because basically, they're not producing video or radio content by themselves. They're predominantly bloggers, writers, or just upfront activists. And they're not the kind of people who sit in an office all the time, working away till 5 o'clock in the morning, two nights in a row, editing somebody else's radio show that you recorded by yourself just to make sure that they sound impeccable when they go on air. That's what I do. And that's what your donations buy. They buy a technical media support framework for people in this country who expose scumbaggery with credibility. I may not have credibility myself. In fact, I've never said that I'm credible. I have stated many times publicly that I am incredible. But what I do, and do well, and do better than anybody else, unequivocally, and if anybody can correct me on this and show me anybody else who's done like 3,000 videos and covered more protests and more public meetings and more activists and interviewed more people from across the world than any other New Zealander along this vein of thought, point them the frick out for me. They don't exist. This is why I ask for your donations. This is why I ask for you to give regularly every month, because I provide a stable support network for all of these other people who don't have their own radio shows, who don't edit videos. Okay, and that's really all they need, is their own radio show for somebody to sit back and produce them, and a few videos to be put up. And you'll be surprised how big of a boost that is for somebody who's in a real dark place. somebody who's being oppressed by the police, or surveilled by the GCSB, or being called names and abusive, derogatory, defamatory, scumbaggery accusations from every direction. When you're faced with that, and then somebody comes along, lets you tell your story, not only lets you tell your story, but encourages you to do it in an open, free, and fun format, you appreciate it massively. And in fact, I've received a number of messages from people that I've interviewed over the years that time when they were down in the dumps, when they were getting shafted the worst, when they were in the darkest place in their life, where they felt that nobody would listen to them, I was there and I pulled them out of it. And I just do that, you know. They can't pay me. They can't. Activism doesn't pay, folks. Sorry. Doing the right thing? You want to get rich doing the right thing? You're going to have to do something real creative. I don't know what the hell. Who's saving the world right now that's making a crap load of money at it? Let me think. No, there's nobody. There's frickin' nobody, is there? Okay, now let's think about who's destroying the world and making a shockingly large amount of money off of it. All of a sudden, a list of a million names come to mind. You can see what I'm saying. It's pretty self-evident, isn't it? So what I've done is, you know, trying to make money out of doing the right thing. I've, of course, as I mentioned before, had to be creative about it. So what you do is you help people who need help. And that you make sure that that's recorded and published and put up online so that people can see that you're actually helping. You need to provide evidence of your do-goodery in order for people to even think for a second about giving you anything. All right? And in some cases, you need to do it for quite a long period of time in order to gain a loyalty or a rapport or a reputation in order to do so. And I have forged my reputation in the night and the countless nights I have spent up editing other people's things just to make sure that it's just right. Just to make sure that when Paul Connick comes to New Zealand from England and gives his presentations, that there's somebody there to film it in two camera angles and to put it up online for him, for free, for the Fluoride Action Network, for free. It would cost somebody thousands of dollars. I mean, literally, I do jobs for people that would normally cost them $1,000 plus minimum in order to get done. All right? It's beyond a joke how expensive media people and people with digital skill are to hire. I never, ever was in that industry. I went straight from being a salesman working for a major telecoms company, a really good salesman, to being a straight-up media activist, okay? It was kind of inside of a week I made that transition. Quit my job, took my $11,900 worth of shopping vouchers, bought myself a Mac, bought myself a camera and a tripod, and away we go. And then I was offered a radio show by American Freedom Radio. And I did that for a couple of years. And then American Freedom Radio folded, unfortunately. And now I'm on my own again. But I'm not totally alone. There is so much support coming my way from every conceivable direction. I've become the center of a little universe. And I did so purposefully. This may reveal some of the manipulative aspects of my personality, but I figured out that if you help people, really help them, they care about you enough to pick you up when you fall. I have yet to fall because you, ladies and gentlemen, have been holding me up this whole time. For years, ever since 2012, I haven't had to do a second job or anything of that nature for the last 2 and a bit years, roughly. Because of you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm capable of sitting at home on my computer, interviewing people, getting the stuff up, and now I'm starting to produce a couple new radio shows. There is the Independent Kiwi radio show with Paul Carruthers. That's up on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And also the Postman Show with Ben Vidgen. Now, these guys, there's a reason I offered them radio shows and decided to make it a priority over my own kind of career ambitions. And I could just be doing my 5-day-a-week radio show, but I've been talking for years about helping other activists to help themselves so that I don't have to do it for them anymore. And I never did it because I was too busy just interviewing them and editing their stuff for them and recording their regular events. I was never trying to train them. I was never trying to produce them. I was never really trying to help take them to the next level so that I would make myself redundant. And that was always my dream, to become redundant. I know that sounds strange, but this is actually what a good management model is. A manager will go into a company and set up a system that's basically capable of putting him out of the job. So he goes off and he starts to help somebody else with their management and what have you. That's kind of what I'm hoping to do here. And these guys, and these are the only two that I've started producing so far, will be adding more on the queue as time goes on, including Penny Bright, and hopefully a number of others will come on. Kiwi Talk radio show hosts, all right? I've had a lot of very, very good interviews with these people over the years. They are moral, ethical, not without their personal problems, as we all do. And I think they need to be given a radio show. Not because I think that it'll generate a shockingly large amount of hits or thanks or revenue for me or whatever. But the main point of it is to basically create my own competition, because I've realized that nobody can compete with me. I know that sounds really arrogant, but again, I relay my previous point. Name me a Kiwi who was given a 5-day-a-week American talk radio show. No? Oh, yeah, that's right. There's only one. Name me a Kiwi who outranks the New Zealand Herald on YouTube. No? Because there's only one. I'm damn good, ladies and gentlemen. All right? And for frack's sake, I can't keep it all to myself. I can't just be sitting here and just going, oh, aren't I great? Aren't I wonderful? You know, I hate narcissistic pieces of crap like that. I'm a narcissist, but I'm not a piece of crap. So I've found out that I need to really focus on helping these people go from point A, which is not having a radio show, not having anything, to point B, knowing how to produce it, edit it, organize guests, turn it into a YouTube video, upload it to a website, and promote it on Facebook. Once they know those skills, they don't need me anymore. And that's the whole idea. My producer taught me everything he knows. And he taught me very well. And I appreciate him for that, because he didn't hold anything back. And I was able to let him go to go produce somebody else who really needed his help. And now it's my turn to produce some people who really needed some help. When I first started off, I was shabby. I was terrible. Had very little practice. I was a new kid on the block. But now, after a few years of that experience that was gifted to me by my extremely, shall we say, experienced producer, who used to have an office in Warner Brothers, for goodness sake. And here he is, moving to New Zealand and producing Vinnie Eastwood. He was a really good friend to me. And I remember very intensely what that felt like, how grateful I was that at those points when I felt like I couldn't take it, he'd be around with a feed or a box of beer or something like that, just being there when you need them. That's what a good producer is really all about. And that's exactly what my show has been about this whole time. Being there when people need me to be there. Why? Because nobody else will do it. Nobody. You know, there are plenty of other people out there who record things at public meetings and protests and things like that. None of them bother to upload them, or barely any of them at least. And some of the ones that do, they command that you pay for it. You know, that's not freedom. That's not entrepreneurship. That's not compassionate. What I see is, in terms of my whingy competition, and I'm talking about my whinging here, not my competition's whinging, is I see like a lot worse narcissism than I've got. And I have a great angst and anger towards these people who use others for their own benefit. I benefit others at the cost of my own time and my own effort. I don't use other people because I want something from them. Right? You can't take and not give back. It's unfair. It's unconscionable to me. Others don't have those sort of same moral qualms. That maybe they didn't get abused at school their entire life. Maybe they haven't been screwed over and had all their stuff stolen by their flatmates. Maybe they haven't been arrested and lied to by cops. Maybe they haven't had their life destroyed enough to value the sanctity and the dignity of human life and the efforts of activists who give their time and their effort, in some cases their blood and their lives, so that future generations would not have to deal with the kind of scumbaggery that they have to live through. I feel that those people need support. I feel that those people deserve respect. I believe we should honor them. And by all means, if you want to honor somebody, help them. Help them to do something they can't do on their own. Somebody did that for me, and I'm merely passing it on. When I was a boy, I think it was about 12, Form 2, Waiheke High School, I said, all we can do in this life is learn what we can, and in time, use what we've learned to teach others to do the same. It's about paying it forward, folks. I mean, really. If you want New Zealand to have an alternative media, you have to actually support it. I mean, that I really can't actually do much else in the way of it. I mean, I've sort of locked myself in here. I've got my career path dusted. I've unfortunately blagged my record with a couple of cannabis criminal convictions, as well as a long history of activism and exposing scumbaggery and talking about conspiracy stuff. So whatever career I ever wanted in the film industry or any other sort of thing, nah, it's kind of gone. I don't have no big inheritance coming towards me. You know, it's like I got nothing. That's what it feels like to me. And when my YouTube channel got deleted, the fact that I have nothing kind of came in. Really, really massively. Don't really have anything to show for it. Nothing real. I can't say that, actually. I've got so many things to show for what I've done over the past nearly decade of activism. So much that it's unbelievable that it would literally, just to describe to people what I've done in the last year alone would take like 10, 20, 30 radio shows, you know? It would nearly take me a year's worth of weekly radio shows to just tell you what I've gotten up to during the week in each one. You know what I'm saying? I do a lot of work. Huge amounts. It's beyond a joke. And I know that I will never be a millionaire because of that alone. You know, anybody ever tells you if you want to be rich, work hard, they're freaking lying to you. They're freaking full of crap, bro. Oh, my God. There's just no way. There's just no way. If you want to be rich, be a criminal, but be a smart criminal. All right? That's basically it. And I'm talking about super rich here. If you want to be, you know, slightly better off, sure, hard work. Sure, creativity. Bit of entrepreneurship here or there. But that doesn't help much when huge quantities of red tape and taxation and all your liberties and freedoms being taken away from you and mass surveillance come rearing their ugly frickin' heads. Does it? Doesn't help much. You can have all your stuff taken off you tomorrow. You know, just like they did to the Ukraine. It was like, oh, we got all these people that are like wealthy and successful farm owners and things like that. Let's confiscate all their grain and all their land and watch them all starve to death and eat each other in the process. 7+ million people. Very conservative estimate. Way more than the Holocaust. All gone. Just because they wanted their money. They wanted their farmland. And they couldn't defend themselves with pitchforks. Because they'd already confiscated their guns. You see how this works? And I'm really, really sick and tired. And I know everybody says that. I know everybody's sick and tired of hearing the word sick and tired. Of people who accuse you of doing the opposite of what you're doing. All right? So if I criticize, for example, the National Party and say that they got us into debt, and they say, oh, you support the Labour Party, but they got us into worse debt, blah, 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 blah. Not only is that not true, but it's not relevant either. It's freaking stupid. Like, are you blind? Have you been watching anything that's been going on? Ever? You know? Have you? I mean, it's just like a child sticking their fingers in the ears and going, ah, la, 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 donkey, I love him. Oh, I love him. You've got to be freaking kidding me. It's out of control, man. It's a freaking cult. All right? The John Key cult. That's the National Party. And you know what the Labour Party is? A less successful cult. All right? Just because I'm hard on the National Party doesn't mean I support the Labour Party. That's like somebody saying calling for tougher sentences on murderers and saying, oh, bro, you must be soft on rapists now. That's not the case. They're both parasitical scum that need to be put away. All right? It preferably in some kind of a shoebox and like left to rot forever. There is nothing inside any of these mainstream parties that would suggest to me that they're acting in the best interests of my countrymen. And there is little I despise worse than those who destroy my country and get people to love them for it. That is why I've been so vocal against John Key and the National Party, with him standing up there with his hands up, with his psychopathic, narcissistic self-aggrandizement smile on his face, as all these people chant his name like he's an emperor. How can you watch and not feel something? Does it not stir you in the core of your soul to see evil and all the fools who support it? And know right then that you can't stop it from happening, that you can't educate people out of their stupidity, out of their mind control, that you can't compete with the mainstream media. I mean, at best, I can reach a small percentage of you. And thank you so much for listening. And hopefully that will be enough. I'm just playing my part, as we all should be. I know some of us aren't. But ultimately, if I'm criticizing somebody, it's because I don't agree with them. It doesn't mean I agree with somebody else who's allegedly publicly opposed to them. It's just freaking stupid, you know? Wake up, bro. Okay? Both of these parties are working for the bankers. Okay? Maybe more than just two of the New Zealand parties are working for the bankers. There's some nasty stuff going on everywhere. And throughout all of them. You know? And why? Why are there so many psychopathic, narcissistic, scumbaggery filth occupying the annals of power and control?
It's because it's what they freaking crave. They can't live without it. They can't live without you sucking up to them, licking their boots, loving them for raping you. They can't live without that stuff, man. And you can't live without it either. It's almost like we were a species crafted for servitude. We love it. We love being lied to. We love being led astray. We love being suckers, don't we? Even the people out there who drink Coca-Cola Zero because it says it's got zero sugar in it, when it's actually got, like, formaldehyde causing goodness knows whatever the frack else in it. You know? Just because it's advertised doesn't make it true. And in fact, if it is advertised, it's probably the direct opposite of whatever they're saying it is. So the government says they're here to help you, they're here to kill you and enslave you. If John Key says we're going to get us out of debt, he's going to get us into debt. All right? What did he do in the 3 days after the election? Several billion dollars in debt more, you know. It wasn't 3 days after. I think it was in the 3 weeks, including the 2 weeks before the election and the last week after the election, our debt went from $84 billion to $91 billion. Okay? He borrowed $7 billion in 3 weeks during an election cycle. You've got to be freaking kidding me. Bro, this is out of freaking control. And if people think that John Key isn't working for the bankers, what's in his past? What does he do for a living? He's a banker. A big, bad banker, too. Not just like the local down-the-shop store kind of a guy who'll give you a couple of bucks or something like that to, buy a little bit of groceries or buy dinner tonight, like Gavin Marsuch does, who's been accused of being a bloody loan shark. No. We're talking about the big, bad banker, okay? He's going to huff, he's going to puff, and he'll blow your economy down. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show on thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Please check out our sponsors on the homepage there. The Gourmet Soap Kitchen in Wagga Wagga, the High Tea Cafe, and also make sure you get yourself a blue shield, because that EMF and EMR radiation stuff is really nasty. It's really not that good, bro. And they've even got a new Tesla Cube out. I so want one of those, man. It looks really cool. It's like protects against 4G and Bluetooth and all this other stuff. It's like a really high-tech little thingy. I suggest everybody have a look at that. It looks freaking mean to me. Anyway, we'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the final segment today of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, available on thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Please visit the homepage there. We've had a bit of a layout change as well. So if you want the new shows, there's a little slideshow right there where it says recent shows, and basically you can click to the sides or click any of those pictures in order to go straight to the posts for those shows themselves. Just trying a little new thingy out here, as well as producing a few new radio shows. So please check out the new shows by Paul Carruthers and Ben Vigen. They're up on the top bar there next to the home and 2014 archives, the little white writing inside the orange thingy there. Okay, now, to talk about the government
in any context kind of puts a lot of people off, all right? Because A1, you'll put off people who are just not interested. And incidentally, I think the etymology behind the word idiot is a person who chooses not to involve themselves in the public sphere, you know, public affairs and things like that. So if you're not interested in politics, if you're not interested in participating, if you're not interested in voting, not a personal judgment, this is just by very definition, you're an idiot, all right? Simple as that. And I think there's a good reason behind that word meaning there. It's because basically if you think you can't affect the outcomes of elections, if you think that your voice does not matter, if you choose to do nothing while your country is beset by scumbaggery, that's pretty foolish, isn't it? You know, I would have thought that was pretty self-evident, but apparently for some people, no, it's not self-evident at all. It's in fact a completely different definition whatsoever. They think that those who participate in the public sphere, those who spend their lives in service to their countrymen, or those who participate in the voting process, if you're wanting to vote for a party that's not full of corrupt scum, for example, is an idiot. And that's, you know, that's their opinion. But unfortunately, they're the definition of the idiot, not the people who participate. It's just, you know, sorry, burst that bubble for you. And the other element I wanted to talk about is not just so much of the criticism of me because I've been voting, you know, like, dude, for goodness sake, I spent like a minute, you know, maybe two tops, rolling into the voting station and just, you know, ticked two things, bing, bing, and then it's all gone. It's all done away. And people think that that's a bad thing. People think that's evil, you know. People think that undermines the 1,000 days between elections where I've criticized all the parties for everything that they've done wrong without fear or favor. They think that that kind of discounts all that, as if it didn't matter. You're going to be kidding me, bro. You know? I mean, if there's anybody who really participates in politics in this country, like without shoveling copious quantities of propaganda and lies and spitting scumbaggery out at everybody, it's me. You know, I'm not trying to manipulate anybody here. I'm not trying to like take you for a ride. I'm just trying to get some freaking information out there that the mainstream media won't let you hear. You know, there was an interview I did with Andrew Williams from New Zealand First, where we talked about the media demonising New Zealand First all the time, the copious propaganda machines, as well as the huge amounts of lies and scumbaggery committed under the current government. And sure enough, they played a section of that video on the air. And you know what it was? Do you think it was the part where it was talking about scumbaggery? You know, it was a part where demonising the media, demonising New Zealand First? Any of that? No. Only this one couple of second clip of Andrew mumbling for a second or two during that video. There was like 17 minutes of crucial content, which I know converted a lot of people. A lot of people who saw that video became New Zealand First voters directly after that, and with good reason, because it was the first political interview that they'd seen in this whole freaking, oh my god, election cycle. Sorry if I'm getting upset here. Election. What does that even mean? Did you know that voters can't elect people? Only electors can. You know? It's like, you look at the futility of voting, and you look at the futility of not voting, and you see that voting actually is slightly less infantile, slightly less, you know? Anybody who thinks that that's the only thing that they have to do in order to procure a safer future or a better government for your people is just bloody out of touch with reality, mate. There's just no way that somebody could argue correctly, in my opinion, that voting is enough, all right? Name me one country ever that has given all their rights, all their freedoms, their liberty, and their independence through writing a note or voting or putting down your signature on a piece of paper? How many petitions have made a tyrannical government stand down? How many times have you voted for a tyrannical, somebody who opposes a tyrannical dictator and seen them win? No? Hasn't frickin' happened, has it? And this has given rise to the belief, justifiable belief, naturally, that voting doesn't cause anything good to happen. You know, to a large extent, I can't actually argue with that, all right? However, there's 1,000 tools in your toolbox. Voting is one of them, okay? And people throw that out and say, oh, it's ineffective, it's ineffective. Well, of course it's ineffective. You think they'd give you the keys to the freaking castle on a silver platter, you monkfish? I mean, come on, bro. You know, grow up. Wake up. Get with the program. The extermination, the indoctrination program, the scumbaggery program. It's all around you. And you can't just oppose it once every couple of years, bro. You kind of have to do it constantly. In your whole freaking life. Every minute of your day, every hour, every freaking week, every month, you have to be laying into these freaking pieces of trash that are destroying your nation. All right, this goes for everybody. It doesn't matter whether you're from New Zealand or the UK or the Scottish who just had their vote rigged, you know? Goes for everybody, man. Our governments are scum, and they're full of it. They're absolutely full of it. Now, I'm not sure if I want a government. Not 100% sure if I don't want a government. What I do know is that I want some safety in the streets, some security, you know? Just basically, I don't want to have to worry about whether or not people are going to be breaking into my home. And me not have the ability to defend myself or call somebody to help if I'm unable to, you know? I think those are pretty straightforward. I want infrastructure to be pretty stable. A lot of people are saying, especially libertarians and anarchists as well, have been saying that we don't need a government at all. And, you know, I suppose there's an argument for that case. But if anything, if you want full anarcho-syndicalist culture, you've got to go from point A to point Z. It's not a point A to point B thing. It's not that quickly. There's got to be some kind of a turndown period, right? Like if you're at a club and the music's blaring really loud, you don't just turn it down to like minimal volume or something like that in order to make people feel better about it, because then they just can't hear the music at all. All right? That's the difference. And how exactly are we going to oppose a massive system that's been totally set up to be virtually irresistible? Okay? How do you do that? And the answer is any way you all can. All right? Have you got creativity? Are you a psychopath? No? Well, then you've got creativity. So go out and be creative about it. All right? You don't need to sit back and let other people give you ideas about what to do or what to write to your politician or anything like that. Come up with your own ideas. Go out and expose it in your own way. This is how all the activists that I interview work. They don't sit around waiting for somebody else to give them the okay. They go out and they do it because it's the right thing to do. Huh. Can you grasp that? How many hours of our lives do we sit around, I don't know, placating ourselves by playing video games, watching movies and TV and things like that, enjoying other people's creative process and entertainments, whilst at the meantime we're only doing it because we need to distract ourselves from how impotent and uncreative we've all become? There has to be something more. We were not meant to be living like this, okay? This is not natural. There is something wrong with everything. It's not just, oh, there's something wrong, or everything's wrong. There's a little bit wrong about everything. You know? And for anybody to say we're going to have some kind of blanketed solution by deleting government or voting for a particular party or something like that, it's just freaking insane! Oh! It's oh my God!
the stupidity, the willfulness to just trust people who have already knowingly violated your trust, and how anybody could be frickin' stupid enough to believe anything that John Key or the Labour Party or the Green Party or ACT or any of these other elected parties is going to, like, you know, help you out in some case in your darkest hour. You could be freaking kidding me, bro. Really? It's beyond a joke, son. Right? They're passing mass surveillance legislation, and you vote for them. They're selling the country out to foreign banks, and you vote for them. They signed us up to a partnership agreement with NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. We're in the South Pacific, bro. And you vote for them. They lie blatantly, get caught lying easily, and deny it. And then you vote for them. You freaking idiots, man. It's oh my God. Oh my God. You almost can't even deal with it. It's like trying to fathom it. You know how to understand insanity, ladies and gentlemen? There's only one way I know of, and it's to go completely nuts. And I think that's kind of what's happening, isn't it? The people who actually know what's going on, people like myself and the activists and whatnot, we've been slowly driven insane by the insanity of others. You know? What's it like? What's it like being an idiot? Not having any clue what's going on? Not basing your decisions on facts or evidence? There's something to be said about that kind of mentality. There's an old quote. They must find it difficult, those who have taken authority as truth, rather than truth as the authority. We're in trouble. Big trouble. And nobody seems to know exactly what to do to stop it. So many people have got ideas. A lot of those ideas, if implemented, might make some significant differences. I had a great idea. But it all comes down to implementation. Am I willing to, you know, stop everything in my life in order to do this? You know, I managed to stop everything to do in my life in order to do this radio show, in order to expose scumbaggery and give the activists a platform. That was kind of, you know, that's my part. If other people want to do other parts and things of that nature, go for your life, son. Find your talent. Find out whatever it is you actually are passionate about. Find out what you're willing to spend 2 nights in a row up till 5 a.m. doing. And then go and freaking do it. Your country's kind of counting on you, bro. It's not going to work itself out. It's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse. Believe me. There is a long game being played here. A big plan. And your rights, your life, your country, your freedoms, everything is on the line. It's literally on the line here, baby. And you, what are you going to do about it? You going to sit here and listen to me? Or some other talk radio junket telling you the truth? Just sit there and just keep listening to us without acting? Without contributing? I've said on radio many, many times, and I'll say it many more times again, until I no longer have a show, because nobody listens to me. Don't listen to me. I would prefer that to be the case. If you were going to go do your own radio show, start your own YouTube channel, and start speaking the truth yourself in your own unique fashion. If, on the other hand, you're resisting in your own unique fashion already and you're just listening to the show as supplementary, then I got no argument. Go for your life. You can listen to as many episodes as you want. They're all free, innit? But what I've found is that when people really get a passion, when they actually start exposing scumbaggery on their own, they often stop listening to others who are doing the same or similar thing to them. Not because they don't care anymore. It's because they don't have the time. All right? I don't have the time to listen to nobody else. I mean, why do you think I interview so many people on my show? It's because that's how I get my information now. All right? Now, if that's valuable to you, then good. As long as you do something with that information, because knowing the truth and then not speaking it when it counts, when it matters, when you still have the ability to, before everything is totally taken away from us, then you are wasting your time and you are wasting my life, okay? In some way, shape, or form. In fact, that's a bit harsh. How can I say you're wasting my life by listening to my show? Without you listening to my show, I wouldn't have one. All right? In fact, I'm trying to kill myself here. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to kill my own career by telling people to go out and start their own shows and turn this stuff off. All right? Now, there's the other element of do you get something out of it? Okay, does it help to you to maintain your sanity listening to somebody else who's actually talking about something relevant? Okay, I know exactly how that feels to be the one in your family who everybody thinks is crazy, who nobody listens to, and simply having an outlet for something to listen to that you totally agree with and you can totally vibe with. I get that. I totally understand it. Happened to me. And it was the very motivation behind starting this whole radio show in the first place, is I realized that there was no InfoWars of New Zealand. There wasn't any equivalent, something that would help those people who are exposing the worst of the worst of the worst, not the dirty politics kind of fluffing around the edges sort of, ooh, isn't that naughty type thing. I'm talking about the real harsh stuff here, man. The kind of thing that will, if you hear about it, if you see it, if you listen to it in explicit detail, will change your life, and not for the better in a lot of cases. We're talking about damaging information here. Information's dangerous. Believe me. You get what you pay for. Jordan Maxwell taught me that. You want to stick your head into hell? Sometimes it'll come back with you. All right? That's why a lot of us are really damaged. It's painful. It's a struggle. Constantly. Psychologically. Spiritually, in every way that matters, it is a challenge. There's so much pain and suffering happening all around us every single day. And instead of helping people, we sit back and we listen to people talking about how much people are suffering. You know? What is this impotence? What is this weakness we're all afflicted by? I'm still afflicted by it myself. I sulk, you know, and I take things personally. I've only realized, like, in the last couple of weeks, actually, what a weak person I really am, which is ironic because you kind of have to be sort of full of yourself in order to do a radio show to any great extent. And it's just the point of fact that in order to take criticism for doing the right thing is inherently problematic, all right? I'm doing the right thing, and people hate me for it. John Key lies to the country and destroys it step by step in a massive wave the size of which nobody in this country has ever been capable of surfing, and they love him for it. They love him. How can you love somebody who doesn't love you back? I'm sure we've all been there. You've had a schoolyard crush, you know? And it came out in the paper a while ago that New Zealand voters, females specifically, find John Key attractive. And I think this underwrites the alcohol problem that we have in this country. Ladies, no more beersies for you. No more beersies for you. You've got a problem, and you need to address it, okay? He's not sexy. He's rich. There's a difference. All right? I don't know what women find attractive. Hopefully it's not me. Because I've got a wife and stuff. But the thing about power and wealth is kind of like it stems back to caveman days, you know?
Hey, baby, come and check out my cave. I have a nice, beautiful rug for you. I made it out of a saber-toothed tiger. And look, Here's one of its teeth, and I made it into a necklace for you.
Oh, wow, isn't that lovely? I think I might have sit here and have your children.
Fantastic. Boom. Little does she know, there was another dude that lived in that cave, and he got clubbed over the head and fed to a saber-toothed tiger after his body was poisoned. And the saber-toothed tiger died, and then the dude skinned it and sussed it out. And then used it to manipulate that chick into having his babies. I mean, you know, boom, they're right there, bro. You sussed it. Isn't it nasty? You know, oh my God, I got such a terrible, terrible sense of fun. All right, now, coming to the end of the show, and I've probably ranted a lot more than I maybe should have, maybe said some damaging things, but just take it in context, okay? I'm an emotional douchebag with a radio show who's slightly narcissistic. Don't take me that seriously, bro. I don't. You know, don't expect anybody to. I'm honest, and I'm compassionate, and I admit when I'm wrong and stuff, if people can show me, like, adequate evidence and whatnot. So, you know, I won't lead you too far astray before I correct myself and thus you. and the other point is, don't trust people, you know, especially people in media, even me. You know, work things out for yourself, for goodness sake. We can give you information, sure. I can give you information that you probably could access even yourself. If you went to the blogs, websites, shows, or even just started emailing or talking to these people on the phone that I interview, you could get that information for yourself without needing me, all right? However, it's so much easier this way. It really is, isn't it? And I think what we've done here is, as a people, we've favored convenience, all right? And that's what's really difficult to deal with, is I'm here trying to provide the convenience of information available to you, whichever part of the world you're from, so that it might help you in some way. And I know that it does, because I get emails from people who were going to commit suicide before they heard about the lighter side of genocide. All right, about laughing at these terrible things that happen everywhere to stop it from making you go insane. All right, if you want to really cut down my show to its actual point, information aside, topics, saving people's lives, blah, blah, blah. It's really all about having a good laugh at the truth. If you don't laugh, you'll cry. You don't really have much of a choice in the matter as far as I'm concerned. There's some great difficulty when you need to actually figure that out, that there maybe never is a light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe there ain't no savior. Maybe there is no way out. But if you have faith and you have a laugh, even when things are terrible, you might survive it. And that's really what I hope for all of you people, is that you'll have a sense of humor about your own orderly extermination. All right, you know, this is just what I'm trying to get across here. Anyway, thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. I very much must iterate again how much I appreciate all your supportive comments. Your donations help every week. I mean, one person donated me $5 and he says, sorry, it can't be more. But in PayPal, in order to transfer your money into the account for free, you need at least $150 in there. And it was on like $146, and this guy giving me that $5 put it over the edge, so I was able to transfer it into my account, and I can pay rent this week, all right? Almost every single one of your donations is exactly like that. The tiniest bit that you contribute makes a world of difference, massively. Those people who are capable of setting up automatic payments into the KiwiBank, the New Zealand listeners, mate, without that, this I would have folded a long time ago. I cannot express to you how grateful I am for your attention, for your support, both morally and financially.
You've been listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Please check out our wee sponsors there, the Gourmet Soap Kitchen in Wagga Wagga, the High Tea Cafe in New Lynn, and Blue Shield New Zealand, and help you protect yourself from that EMF and wireless radiation junket that we're all bathed in right now from the old smart meter networks. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you again sometime.